Garden. I'm Lynn Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Baby, it's cold outside. Oh my gosh, this week. It was 27 degrees when I woke up.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah, and it is cold. Well, say goodbye to most of your annuals. If you had impatience, they're gone. I tell you, we've got to figure out what you can do to make sure that you don't have frozen pipes and damaged other things. And that's what we're going to talk about in our first segment.
Cold weather brings the need to feed the wild birds. We'll explain why you should put up a feeder and what you should feed them during our second segment.
Wondering if you should cut back your hydrangeas? We'll tell you why and what to do and why not to in our third segment.
Dave from Cherry Hill called the Bloomers in a Garden hotline and asked questions about daylilies and lilacs. Hear his call in our fourth segment.
And Joan, our friend from Feasterville, called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. She has what sounds like a paper wasp nest in her lilac. She asked the best way to remove it. Hear how in our final segment.
So stay tuned, and we'll be right back in the garden right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Fertilome's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertilome's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons, in a gallon of water. The best part is Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's Triple Action and expect to have the best-looking plants in the neighborhood.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Yeah. So, did winter arrive? Yeah. Did we really skip? You said it this morning, Aaron. Did we? That we skipped autumn altogether?
Absolutely.
All right. Look, this was a warning. 27 degrees, and if you had water in your pipes and they were above ground, you may have a problem. First thing, if you have a sprinkler system, make sure you get your sprinklers blown out. Don't wait, because these guys are going to be booked. You know, I hate to admit it, but at Bloomers, we have to wait until next Friday to get our sprinklers blown out, and everything's above ground at Bloomers.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just that this cold weather snuck up on us, and I don't know why, but it did, because it was 80 degrees last week.
Yeah, you know? Really.
Yeah,
shorts on.
Yeah, right? You know, so here are some things that you need to do. Again, get your sprinklers blown out. Most important, because you'll have those heads on your sprinklers. That's what shatters, because as it freezes, that's going to be where the most cold is. So the water expands and it breaks your actual sprinklers. Then all of a sudden you've got these replacements and
your bill went up.
Get it done. Get it done. Hoses.
I always forget mine.
We prepped ours at Bloomers. But yeah, roll up your hoses. You got to take them off of your outdoor spigots, unscrew them, and then make sure the water's blown out. And did you just use gravity? Just, you know, roll it while you're standing up, and then that water will go to where the lowest level is while you've got the one end on the ground. So that's really important. Julio, you remember you had a leak? Didn't you have a leak in your spigot?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Make last sure. Year, there you go. Make sure you go into your basement or wherever their turnoff is for your outdoor spigots and turn them off. Turn them off and open that outdoor spigot. Yeah. After you turn them off, a little bit of water will trickle out. It's not so much that like a one-off 27-degree day is going to make them, you know, crack, but it's the seals inside, and that if you just forget about it, you'll have a stretch of 20-degree weather, and all of a sudden you go to you're trying to find out. Like you said, you told me it was your water bill that tipped you off.
Bill, yeah, $400 some. It's like what? It was tripled.
That Pittman water though.
Yeah, I know.
It's special.
They get you every time.
It's special. Yeah, it's special. So make sure you go. You get in the basement, turn off, bleed your spigots, and get that taken care of. Did you feed your plants? Hmm. Aspoma halitone. Feed your shrubs. You know, you want your plants to look good. We get so many calls that the feeding you give your shrubs now will not be evident until spring. The feeding you do in spring will be later on in the summer. So again, you're doing this for the future. So make sure you get Aspoma halitone, and you want to follow the instructions, because it depends on the size of your plant. So I'm not going to tell you, oh, use a cup, use a half a cup, use a third a cup. You're going to go and decide what it says that's right for each plant. All right. Chapstick for your plants. Right, Julio?
That's correct. I use it all the time.
Right? And Wiltstop is a product from Bonide. There's also another one called Wiltproof. They considered being a sponsor of Bloomers in the Garden. Oh, yeah. Did you know that?
Wow.
Yes, they did.
That's great.
It is, and it because it's one of those like secret products.
Yeah.
It's an anti-transparent.
Transparent.
Feel so smart.
Oh, yeah. I know.
My mom would be so proud.
Really? She would, but
no, she wouldn't. Anyway. So an anti-transparent, what that means, the foliage that's left on a plant. Okay, so evergreens especially, and broadleafed evergreens like azaleas and rhododendrons, that where they'll give off moisture through the winter. Okay, it gives off moisture through the winter, and that's where we get winter burn problems, like on boxwood and different plants. Like, for instance, why am I wanting to say crepe myrtle? It's not crepe myrtle, it's camellias.
Camellias, yeah.
It would be ideal for camellias.
Oh, perfect.
Because what happens is that it encapsulates it like chapstick does on your lips. I don't know. Chapstick? Do you use chapstick?
Oh, yes.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
I don't. I tough it out and let my lips crack. Because I'm a tough guy.
You're a tough guy, yeah. You're a big
so
guy
just like how chapstick protects your lips, mm-hmm. Wiltproof will actually, and Wiltstop will protect your plant from losing all the moisture from the roots. Because, again, it's that exchange where the moisture from that's around the roots is there and it's in the plant, but it also gives it off through the leaves throughout the summer, and you don't realize that. You just think, oh, the plant's dormant. Well, not really. Mm-hmm. The process of it is slowed, but in a really windy, dry winter, and you think about it, you know, Aaron?
Yes, sir.
Your kids, I'm sure they do this, like where have they ever like walked across the carpet or whatever, and then they have electric shocks?
Oh yeah, we do it on time, on purpose.
Yeah,
we shock each other,
right? Yeah, you know, and it's more in the winter time
for sure. I don't know what is that about.
That's because it's dry.
Oh,
it's so dry, and that's where that comes from. And the same thing, like when you have your heater running, it's taking moisture out of the air. So your house plants, you can actually use this on house plants as well.
Nice.
Huh? There's a little tip.
There you go.
You heard it here first.
There
is some things to be precautious about. Arborvitaes, cypress, junipers, and cedars, they have to be sufficiently hardened off for the winter, whereby the moisture retreats back to the root system. Because if you put it on while it's still actively growing, the moisture in the plant cells could freeze and burst, and it will damage the plant. And it's usually in when it's colder, so you won't like notice it right in the beginning. So again, junipers, Leyland cypress, I would just be a little more cautious of that when it gets a little bit, let's say it's been adapted to the colder weather. So if we have a period where it's been colder on a regular time where we've been regularly in the 30s, and then we want to have 2 weeks of consistently winter type weather. Soil, what's the soil temperature, Julio?
Oh yeah, you can go to Syngenta soil temperature.
Check that out. You know Syngenta is a Chinese company.
Oh yes.
Did you know that?
No.
Yep. This is for the other guys. Sam, make a note. So the political guys on the other side, that Syngenta is a great horticulture company.
Okay.
But they're a Chinese company.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to like that.
Yeah, I know. I know. But you know what? Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the governor of Arkansas, she stopped them from buying 200 acres of land in Arkansas.
Wow. There you go.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the one good thing about this company, again, as a horticulture company, they can tell you what your soil temperature is no matter where you live.
That's correct. Yeah, and in Washington Township, where we're settled in, and it is now, current soil temperature is 41 degrees, by the way.
Wow, it's colder than I thought it would be.
Yeah, 24-hour average is 46.6.
Okay.
And a five-day average is 58.8.
So it's a pretty wide swing.
It is.
And I bet you last week, can you look up last week when it was like 80 degrees?
Well, I probably could have.
You don't know. That's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
We don't need it. That's history.
That's history. Yeah.
But in any case,
yeah.
One of the things that you want to do is with your houseplants, if you haven't done this already, if you didn't bring your houseplants and it was 27 degrees, well, they're trash can plants now.
Right. We have some at home.
We brought everything in.
Yeah, we brought everything in.
Yeah. You got to bring the stuff in. But before you bring it in, you want to spray it with horticultural oil on the top and the bottom of the leaves to kill up some of those insects that are on them. So you don't want to bring them into the house and infect them your other plants. So make sure you're spraying them. And we say horticultural oil because it suffocates the insect, not poisons it. So it doesn't have to be a systemic where it has to eat the plant to die. So again, make sure you get under the leaves because that's where they hide. And also summer flowering bulbs, right, Ol?
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So look back in the episodes on how to dig up things like dahlias and digging up cannas and some of the things that aren't hardy. Mm-hmm. And we even gave an honorable mention to geranium. So look back and you can see that on the podcast. Right. Again, make sure you get your sprinklers done. We did a good synopsis of things that need to be done now because you may not get another chance. In our 15-day forecast, it doesn't show weather below 30, but we're in, again, outside of Philadelphia. So up in North Jersey, I mean, Poconos was freezing. And that goes like Sussex County, New Jersey, New York State. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they're all of our listening area, Connecticut, those areas are cold. That they're at a different zone than we are. We're a 7. They're closer to a 5. I'm sure they've gotten cold weather.
Sure.
So get your work done.
Yeah.
Get your work done.
Yep. Get it done.
Get your work done. All right. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Are you looking forward to a spring of vibrancy while using the best organically approved growing media for your annuals and vegetables? Coast of Maine's Sprout Island Organic Seed Starter has been created to set a diverse culture ideal for germinating seeds and root cuttings. Created using the best ancient composting techniques and new age mixing devices, Sprout Island Organic Seed Starter gently combines kelp meal, worm castings, mycorrhizae, perlite, and sustainably harvested peat moss, establishing the most desirable setting to enhance new plant growth. Coast of Maine's Sprout Island Organic Seed Starter is available at these local retailers or visit www.coastofmaine.com to locate one near you. Staffers of Kissel Hill Home and Garden Store, Rorristown, Pennsylvania. Ashcombe Farm and Greenhouses, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Pickering Valley Feed and Farm, Exton, Pennsylvania.
Bloomers Home and Garden Center invites you to our largest event of the season. Join us November 17th at 5 p.m. for our annual holiday preview party open house. Enjoy food, drinks, and live entertainment. Did I mention generous holiday savings? We'll be unveiling the latest in-home holiday decor and ornaments, including the Santa's Kindness interactive ornament. It's all going down November 17th at Bloomers Home and Garden Center. For more information, check us out at Bloomers.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. As the weather turns colder, our feathered friends need a little help from us, folks. Yes, they do.
Yes, that's right. And there are differences in bird food. Look,
yeah.
I look at the Sam's Club stuff, the bird seed in Sam's Club, and the fertilizers and the prices and everything else, but the bird seed is awful. I mean, Tractor Supply. Tractor Supply has cheap bird seed. It is. It's cheap, but for a reason, because none of the birds eat it. And it's kind of a fake where, it's like the birds go through it so fast. And they go through it, and then but they don't eat it.
They don't eat it.
They're kicking it out of the feeder.
Uh-huh.
The better the seed you buy, the more the birds are going to eat, and you're not going to have, like, you know, bird seed mulch on the ground. and basically it becomes food for rodents.
Oh yeah, they come in.
And it's Milo is a cheap seed. Mm-hmm. Millet.
Another one.
Corn. Ugh, you want rats.
Go
ahead and feed your birds. Feed your birds corn. There's only a handful that eat it.
Uh-huh.
Again, it's important to get a good seed. And one of the things that I like is, like, there are patio blends, which basically are all hulled seed. So it's like, you know, when you buy sunflower seed, that there's the kind that are in the shell, but there's also the ones that have been the shells taken out. I mean, that's the one that I get and I put in, because every seed is going to get eaten. When you buy a bag of sunflower hearts or sunflower kernels or sunflower meats, all of the shell is gone. So if you think about surface area, the amount of seed that you put in, like, say, the palm of your hand of whole sunflower meats, that is going to be much greater than if you took a handful of black oil sunflower, God forbid, striped sunflower. But again, black oil sunflower is definitely something that the birds do eat. But again, all of those shells end up on the ground. And again, it's kind of phony, because if you pick up a bag that are the same weight or the same size, rather, let me take that back. So the same size, one that's in the shell, one that's out of the shell. The one that is out of the shell is going to be heavier. And if you look at the number of seeds, there's going to be more seed in that bag than in the other bag.
Wow.
All right. I mean, that's plain and simple. Mm-hmm. I get more birds by using straight sunflower kernels than if I used any other thing. Because there are some birds that don't like or can't open the shells.
Yeah, they spent too much time on it trying to get it out of there, huh?
Yeah, it's true. I have a fun fact.
Uh-huh.
On average, birds eat from 1/4 to 1/2 of their body weight every single day.
Wow, that's quite a bit.
All right, so you take a 2-pound cardinal. That cardinal consumes 0.5 pound to 1 pound of seed daily.
Wow.
Ooh. I mean, it's amazing they can fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. but again, they're hunting natural sources. There's a few left. If you don't go and cut back your coneflower, or don't cut back any of black-eyed Susans.
Yeah.
Leave those, go to seed, let the birds take care of them. And that, again, but you've got to convert and you've got to put your feeders out, because you need to feed the birds. Now, birds, like some people, how do I know what to put out? It was interesting. We had a ripped bag of bird seed at Bloomers, and it had peanuts in it. And there's peanuts in the blend. Uh-huh. And like all of a sudden, I've got all these blue jays. screaming like crazy. And so these blue jays are all over the place, and it's because they like peanuts.
Yeah.
And so you've got to look what's in the seed. Also, the type of feeders, like right in studio, if you go to our YouTube channel and you look at watch our show on YouTube, you'll see that we have a Squirrel Buster by Brome, that actually it is a the type of feeder where it prevents squirrels. And I love Brome feeders, honestly, and give me a squirrel-proof feeders. I can't stand squirrels. Animal lovers, whatever. I don't care. I hate squirrels.
Yeah.
I really hate squirrels. Mm-hmm. They damage things. They're just the way to use a Brome feeder will shut that feeder port down when a squirrel's weight gets on it. And they're pretty tricky. And they are. You know, I don't feel bad that they're not getting, because I had one where it figured out that if it dove onto the feeder and knocked it around, it would drop seed on the ground, and then it would pick it up that way.
Smart.
Yeah, well, it was smart. I said, well, that's worth the effort. I'll give them that. I'm not going to try to keep it away. But, you know, if you have, like, if you lived in a wooded area, I mean, squirrels can be a major problem.
Yeah.
So talking about different types of birds, there's clinger feeders. And there's really three types. There's perch feeders, okay, clinger feeders, ground feeders, and then there's non-seed, like where that would be like bluebirds and such, that they'll only eat insects. They'll sometimes go to a feeder, but you rarely see it. So a perch and a clinger feeder, and it's a lot of the songbirds that you're looking for, and then that they'll eat sunflower. And that they'll do different blends will work for them, and they will, you know, it's funny. It's like one of my favorite is a Carolina Wren? Does it? I think so. That where it's a polite bird.
Yeah.
It comes to my feeder, it takes one seed and then flies away and eats it away, and then it comes back and it only takes, can I have more? It takes one seed, flies away and goes back. So it's black capped chickadee. I'm sorry. And that where I mean, you'll watch if you watch your birds, you'll get this. I'm not a geek.
No, but you are.
No, I mean, you know, I'm like a regular guy. I watch football. Yeah. You know? So, but I think it's cool because I also watch the birds. It's just interesting.
It is.
It's just interesting. But if you go and you buy a perch feeder, you've got to make sure that you have, because everybody wants to see, like, there's nothing better than that picture of a cardinal in the snow and how cool is that.
Oh, but beautiful.
Cardinals won't always perch. Mm-hmm. So what Brome has is they have a special cardinal ring that you put around it that will support the cardinals. Other than they're not comfortable, you know, sitting on a perch. And that where, again, it's important, like, even goldfinch to a certain extent, that if you need to have a spot for them to go, all right, they need to have a feeder needs to match the bird that you're trying to attract. So don't be surprised, like, if there are some feeders where, like, you know, I never see blue jays or I never see this or I never see that. And it's basically because either the type of feeder that you have or the type of seed you're putting it. Like, for instance, Niger seed is that little tiny black seed. Mm-hmm. And that's going to attract finches. And you're going to see other types of seed. But if generally, I'll tell you the truth. Because I feed the sunflower kernels, I get golden finch.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So again, it's a type of feed. Now, Aaron, you're saying, right, that Ava's still interested in the birds?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Yep.
Yeah.
And we actually changed our seed.
So you got the mix that is part safflower.
Yep. Safflower, sunflower.
And again, that's from Kohl's, and that. The good part is the safflower is a favorite of cardinals, but squirrels don't eat it because it's bitter to them. And there are some other birds, like grackles, don't eat it. And so that's another thing where it's the seed depicts what you're going to get. So anyway, something that gets overlooked often are ground feeders. And that if you're buying cheap feed, you're buying that stuff from Walmart or you're buying Tractor Supply, don't worry. You have ground feeders because that's where all your birdseed is. Yeah. And that's maybe all you have. But what happens is that a ground feeder only will feed on that, where they will only go to the ground. Like, for instance, morning doves. And that there are, let's see, what are some other varieties? Chirping sparrows, juncos. Cardinals will eat off the ground.
Yeah, they do.
But if you watch a cardinal and you actually have cardinals on your feeder, it never goes like flies in, lands on the feeder. Yeah, it doesn't do that.
Yeah.
If you have like a little area where there's a landscape near it or something, it'll kind of like sneak up on it. Yeah. Like it'll fly into there and then it'll go from there and then it'll jump on the feeder. Yeah. But like it sneaks up like it's like I can't go right on it. So that's something that it's just those things, that observations,
yeah.
You know?
Hey, that behavior, huh?
Like robins are ground feeders.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I see them in my lawn all the time eating the bugs. So, but if you never see a robin go on to a feeder, it's a ground feeder.
Yeah.
And one of the things, if you do get a ground feeder, it's basically a platform that's, you know, maybe 6 inches above the ground, has little legs on it. And it's usually a screen. And if you're going to buy one, that's what you want to get because you want water to just go through it and hold the seed. You don't want it to hold water because you don't want that seed to get moldy. You don't want to get that. That's for sure. Tube feeders are probably the most popular. They have a bunch of ports on them. They can be both for perching birds, but also for a lot of different birds, like where you can be specific on what seed you're putting into it. Like I said earlier about bluebirds liking peanuts, like you can put peanuts in there and there's specific two types of tube peanut feeders. And that It'll accommodate most songbirds, okay? But you've got, again, it's the perches. It's the perches you got to be, you got to be, make sure that it's going to do that. You can't just assume that it will. I still like a feeder that is squirrel proof. All my feeders are squirrel proof. There's also a mesh feeder where, I don't know, mesh feeders are okay. And that basically, what they got to do is they've got to kind of poke into between the mesh to be able to get the seed out. And but it's also because they're clingers and they'll be willing to grasp on to the feeder itself. And then we go back to the platform feeders. You know, if you, some people like to feed the animals, and that where you can feed the squirrels and the chipmunks and the deer if you really want to, raccoons and rabbits. I mean, deer have almost become as annoying as squirrels.
I know.
Anyway, send your hate mail to Julio Zamora, care of Bloomers in the Garden.
We'll take care of that for you.
Anyway, again, it's time to feed. It's time to feed. And don't forget suet. I put a suet feeder out, and it's great because then you'll get things like woodpeckers.
Oh, yeah,
and
downy woodpeckers.
Oh, yeah. Downy woodpeckers go to awesome. My feeders.
Yeah.
And that they're great. They're like, think of a mini woodpecker. Mm-hmm. Has the same coloring, but is small, maybe cool. About 4 inches tall. But again, put suet cakes out. Mm-hmm. And again, why they need that is because it's the fat content. And again, with all that food that they need to eat, they do need a variation in their diet. So it's not just seed. That suet fat is something that they'll feed on. Julio, I know we've got to wrap up on this segment. Is there anything that you've got to add?
No, I think you hit it on a nail about the variety thing. You know, you got to have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Yeah, it's good.
Right. And don't let anybody, if you have songbirds and you have birds come into your feeders and you like it, don't let anybody tell you that you're doing it wrong.
That's right.
You know, it drives me crazy. I had somebody say, oh, you can't get such and such birds. It's like, oh, if you want a indigo bunting, you have to do this. And it's like, get out of here. Anyway, so, but if you enjoy it, just
do it.
That's it. Just again, if you're enjoying it, keep doing what you're doing.
Right.
All right. We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Are you looking to reach an audience of over 12 million residents in the Philadelphia, Delaware Valley, and New York City tri-state? Then consider becoming a broadcast sponsorship partner for Bloomers in the Garden. Every week on Bloomers in the Garden Radio, your products become associated with the authority in everything lawn, landscape, and garden. For more information on the Bloomers in the Garden Partnership Program, feel free to call the hotline 609-685-1880 or check out the radio tab at bloomers.com.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
If you're like me, then you absolutely love birds. The Bird Sanctuary at Bloomers Home and Garden Center has you covered. They're dedicated to the care and feeding of wild birds of all sorts. Want to bring more birds to your yard? Then you got to see this place. Bloomers has a huge flock of feeders, birdhouses, birdseed, and much, much more. Want to feed the birds and not the squirrels? They have this absolutely cool bronze bird feeder that will drive those sneaky squirrels nuts. They'll be moving to the next door neighbor in no time. OMG. Bloomers have these absolutely adorable birdhouses that will turn your yard into the perfect bird B&B. They carry all types of wild bird seed, suet, seed cakes, and mealworms. Bloomer Stocks, Lyric, Kohl's, CNS, Pine Tree Farms, and much, much more that will keep those beautiful birds coming back for more. Bloomer's Home and Garden Center is located in Washington Township in Gloucester County. For more information and directions, check them out on the web at bloomers.com. Bloomer's Home and Garden Center, you got to see this place.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, I forgot to mention something in the last segment, and the commercial reminded me. If you have a bird B&B and the people that were, or the birds that were there, moved out for the summer and that they've now migrated somewhere else, take a look, make sure, but you should clean it out because that way you'll get new residents in. They're not going to move into where somebody still has their, you know, bedroom furniture and everything else. So you need to clean that out. And all good birdhouses have openings so that you can clean it out. So just saying. Julio, what do we have more questions about on this show than anything else?
Oh, my gosh. Hydrangeas are number one.
Hydrangeas, by far.
By far.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, every other week, you know, we can devote a show, the entire show every week to hydrangeas.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So do you prune your hydrangeas?
No.
But down the shears and walk away from the hydrangea. Yeah. Okay. Hydrangeas, that old wood and new wood, and old wood, Julio, is the wood.
Previous year's growth.
Right. And that the best blooms come on that old wood. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a variety that I actually just transplanted, or actually my son Carl did. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. It is a Nikko Blue, which only will bloom on its old wood. And if anybody has an old hydrangea and they're wondering how come it stopped flowering, it's because somebody probably is pruning it in the fall. Yeah. So leave it alone. Don't let them touch it. You know, get out there and let those landscapers know, stay away.
That's right.
Don't touch it. Again, they're formed buds on that old wood, and that the newer varieties that are, you know, summer, you know, the endless summers and all of the repeat bloomers, that seems like that's all there is now, that they'll have their best bloom cycle when they're in the spring, but then they still will bloom on new wood when the new growth starts. They'll set buds, but the best time to prune them or your older hydrangeas is right after they bloom. So after that first bloom cycle, cut them back. Cut them back. That's it.
That's it.
Drop the mic. That's it. You know, and again, it goes back to feeding. Again, we talked about this in the beginning. Remember, we talked about this. Espoma halitone.
That's it.
Espoma halitone. If you want the flowers blue, pH lower, aluminum sulfate. If you want the flowers pink, then you use lime and you want to increase the pH so it's more alkaline. But look, don't pick up the pruners again near your hydrangea until after they finish their first bloom cycle. Right?
Right.
All right. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix with EcoPeat is the perfect ready-to-use potting mix for all your succulents. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix is a blend of sphagnum peat moss, perlite, and EcoPeat. EcoPeat is a natural wood fiber from peat bogs. When added to Fertilome peat moss, it produces a superior professional substrate with an exceptional ratio of air porosity and water holding capacity. Fertilome succulent potting mix will ensure maximum drainage with ideal water retention. It's simply the best succulent mix on the market. Ask for Fertilome by name at your local garden center. Available at Daniel's Garden Center, Sumneytown Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. Gasper's Home and Garden, 316 Tanyard Road, Richboro, PA. Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to zizi plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Dave from Cherry Hill called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline and had two great questions about daylilies and lilacs. Here's his call.
Hi. I had a couple questions. My name's Dave from Cherry Hill, and I had a couple questions. One of them was about the daylilies. I always thought that you had to bring daylilies in the wintertime, but this year I did dig them up. I did have ones that were in pots, and I planted them. And I planted them in the ground, and I'm not sure if I put them too deep or not. I wonder if I should dig them up and replant them, raise them up a little bit so I'm not burying the ground that you were talking about. And the other one is I have lilac bushes that seems like every fall now, they like molt. They molt. They like, the leaves die. I don't know if it was just the lantern flies did it, but the leaves fall off, and then then it looks like it gets new leaves start to come in. So that's a couple of things I was wondering about. Thanks. You have a great show. I love
it.
Nice.
All right.
Good job, Dave.
Dave, easy thing with the daylilies. Leave them alone. Yeah. Daylilies, and as long as we're talking about daylilies, even like we're not talking about calla lilies, as long as we're talking about daylilies, leave them alone. You don't need to pop them up. You don't need to dig them up. I love the effort. You know, that's like you're willing to, yeah. but let them become established and only dig them up when they slow down in flowering. If it's a hardy plant, it's a hardy plant, and it doesn't sound like you've had any problems, right? They're flowering they're in the right spot. We're in like a lot of sun and doing well, I hope so.
Yeah.
But there's no need because of cold or fall or anything to dig up daylilies. They're going to go dormant. They're going to, like grasses and things, that they'll get a little funky on the top, on the leaves. But all in all, Julio, you're the daylily master.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
So, Maya, but what did... Comment on Dave's predicament.
Oh, yeah, he's fine. Those things are tough. They're tough plants, and they'll be fine. He's going to do well with them.
And as far as planting them too deep, you would know that.
Yeah.
Did you? But you would see evidence where they would be doing poorly. So if they're doing okay, leave them alone.
If they're not, then you can do something.
Now, your lilac I've got issue with. Could be disease that gets into it, and that where it drops all the foliage and that it keeps reinfecting itself year after year. It may be that. It didn't describe what the leaves look like before they drop. Are they, coated with, powdered sugar, where it's, You know, that maybe I'm hungry. Powdered sugar.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. But again, yeah. that's powdery mildew. It often comes when most people think it's like a wet thing, but it's not. It's a dry disease. The only other thing I'd be concerned with is if it is a virus that's in the plant itself, then it's you just got to eliminate it. Dig it up, get rid of it. But what I would do for this year, I'd let it grow. If it's getting flowers in the spring, which is great, let us know if it's getting flowers. And then I would trim it back, sometime in July, get it to maybe flush out new growth as opposed to just leaving it to on its own. With lilacs, they're pretty tough, so you can treat them, just hack them down. You want to use pruners or a good pair of pruners. But again, make sure that you're just keeping an eye on it. If you're using systemic disease control, even the disease control that's for roses and even where it has those all-in-one rose controls where it's an insect and disease and fertilizer, use that on your lilac. That it still would give them the same disease resistance as it would if you're putting it on roses. So I don't know. I think that we need to circle back to this in spring and see what the new growth is like. So, Dave, make sure you call us in the spring. Let us know how the new leaves come out. Because anytime there's those tiny leaves, something has happened to the plant and that where that new growth comes out. Something happened to the plant. And most of the time, sometimes environmental, but most of the time it's a disease issue. Or, like I said, a virus. And if it's a virus, there's nothing you can do. There's no cure. There's no, like, magic potion. It's just replace it. Dig it out, replace it. And just final thing is any of the leaves that it did drop and does drop, make sure you're picking them up and getting rid of them. Maybe, that'll take care of it. All right, Dave, it's a great call.
Great call.
We'll be back in the garden right after this. Some of our most frequent questions revolve around organic container gardening for houseplants, annuals, and of course, vegetables. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is a lightweight soil mixture made with salmon, blueberry, lobster, and other compost, as well as calcium and chitin-rich lobster shells, sphagnum peat, perlite, and kelp meal. It is a great soil. And Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Organic Potting Soil is rich in organic material, creating lush, disease-resistant plants that require less watering, less feeding. Its rich, dark brown color provides the perfect balance between water retention and drainage needed for healthy plants. Coast of Maine's Bar Harbor Blend Organic Potting Soil is available at these local retailers.
Forsellati Brothers, Rivervale, New Jersey. Calgo Gardens, Freehold, New Jersey. Tony's Farm and Garden, Windsor, New Jersey.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Are you looking to reach an audience of over 12 million residents in the Philadelphia, Delaware Valley, and New York City tri-state? Then consider becoming a broadcast sponsorship partner for Bloomers in the Garden. Every week on Bloomers in the Garden Radio, your products become associated with the authority in everything lawn, landscape, and garden. For more information on the Bloomers in the Garden partnership program, feel free to call the hotline, 609-685-1880, or check out the radio tab at bloomers.com.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Hey, if you want to be a sponsor of Bloomers in the Garden, in that whole commercial, we do have sponsors. We reach, from basically Delaware to Southern Connecticut. If you've got a business that markets to that area, give the hotline a call. All right. So Joan called. I like Joan. She's a listener to Bloomers in the Garden. It's called the hotline once before, I believe, maybe a couple times. And she is allergic to wasps. This is a tricky one. Listen to her call.
Hi, this is Joan from Feasterville, Pennsylvania. I want to know how and when can I remove what I think is a wasp's nest at the top of my lilac bush. What precaution should I take since I'm highly allergic and I do not want to get stung?
Oish. The highly allergic part spooks me. Yeah. It sounds like you have a paper wasp's nest, so it looks like, you know, about the size of a basketball.
Yeah.
don't set it on fire. Yeah. We know somebody that thought it was a good idea to burn it, and it didn't turn out well.
No, it didn't.
Okay, so that is not a thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're allergic, maybe you should just call the exterminator and pay him. If you were not allergic, this is what I would do. On a cold evening, when it's almost dark and all the wasps are in their nest, I want you to use a product that Revenge. Revenge is the partnering or parent company is Bonide. Revenge Wasp and Hornet Foam Aerosol. And this is expanding foam that has a knockdown agent so that you're basically shooting that, and it has a reach of up to 20 feet, that you're putting it in the hole, the entry and exit hole, because on a wasp nest like you're talking about in a paper wasp nest, there's really only one entrance and exit, and that it will trap them in the nest and it will kill them on contact. So it's really you're plugging the hole with the spray, and while the spray is doing its work. One thing about using a hornet spray like this is that they have a knockdown agent, so it's like slipping them a Mickey, you know, where all of a sudden they pass out rather than chase you around the yard. I like that part. Lived it, you know. We recently put in a deck and where we were basically replacing it, and there were wood bees. They're huge, and they like go up in your face and like hover near you. They like freak me out. That I used it once and then realized, I was like, look, these things are not they're not going to bite me. They rarely bite. So I said, go ahead, bring it on. I'll stare you down.
There you go.
As opposed to the wasps that you have.
Run away.
But I used the product. And that where it was amazing because it literally, you know, it shot out and then went like, you know, shaving cream. And it just like, it was like, hey, this is easy. I could do this on yellow jackets and other things, like especially ground bees. Ground bees are nasty. Again, it's Revenge Wasp and Hornet. And here's the key, foam aerosol. Okay? Can hit nests up to 20 foot above the ground. And what you're going to do after you spray it, you check the nest the next day and see if there's any activity. Maybe you didn't hit it or you missed it or something. If there's still activity, you repeat the same steps. Cold evening, when it's dark, all the wasps are in the nest, spray it. If not, you cut the branch below the nest and dispose of it. I've seen people sell them.
Oh, yeah.
I see that. It's like, oh, here. Some people like it's a decoration or whatever.
Decoration?
I don't know.
My goodness.
Not for me, but you know, other people that put deer heads in their,
deer
you know.
Heads. Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, Joan, that's what you got. But honestly, I'm worried for your allergic reaction and some of the issues that would bring on. Maybe get an exterminator to take care of it.
Yeah.
We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Bloomers Home and Garden Center invites you to our largest event of the season. Join us November 17th at 5 p.m. for our annual holiday preview party open house. Enjoy food, drinks, and live entertainment. Did I mention generous holiday savings? We'll be unveiling the latest in home holiday decor and ornaments, including the Santa's Kindness interactive ornament. It's all going down November 17th at Bloomers Home and Garden Center. For more information, check us out at bloomers.com.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Julio,
I'll tell you.
Wow. Dave had great questions.
He did.
He did. And I wonder how many other people that are out there that think the same thing, that they're digging up their daylilies. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. We hear all kinds of things at the store. That's like my son-in-law, Steve, soon to be the father of my grandbaby. Ooh. Anyway, that's inside information. Anyway, he texted me this morning. Will the freeze hurt my grass seed?
Oh.
He's all panicked that the freeze that we had this week was going to disturb his grass seed. No. Yeah. It's like, what are you thinking that for? Melissa should know the answer to that. Anyway, but it's just those little things where, that's why you go to your local garden center. Your local garden center has those answers. They won't shame. There's no like horticultural shaming.
Calm you down.
What a stupid question. That doesn't happen. Look, if you do have questions, you don't feel you want to be anonymous, call the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Again, it's 609-685-1880. Leave your question and we'll call you back with the answer. It's as easy as that.
It's very easy. Hotline. Listen, if you want to listen to us listen to us on your favorite podcast provider, or go to bloomers.com and visit us on your radio on the radio tab. And if you go to your favorite garden center, tell them you listen to Bloomers in the Garden.
That's right. Or horticultural, or the botanical garden, or wherever you're going that has anything to do with it.
That's right.
Thank you, Sam. Great job.
Great job,
thanks,
Sam.
Even though that went long. Aaron, you can look on our video. Aaron's going to master our video, so we're not too bad. Anyway,
we're good.
All right. It's going to be here next week. We'll be here the same time next week right here in the garden. Call us with your questions. See you in the garden.
See you in the garden.